morning, and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Will you please refer to your bulletin for activities scheduled for this afternoon and to the insert in your bulletin for activities scheduled during the week and next Sunday. And there is an additional insert there that you, I'm sure, would be interested in. Please note that the next men's Bible study will be this coming Tuesday, December 13th, at Bethel Church in the room directly behind the sanctuary at 7 p.m., and all men are invited. This study at the church is held the second Tuesday of every month. Also, next Sunday, December 18th, we will be treated to the Christmas cantata at the 5 p.m. service. And a final note, if you wish, you can follow Pastor Otero's sermon with the outline provided in the bulletin. That was not a final note. I have an additional note or two here. The 3:30 class this afternoon will amplify the morning worship service. And so there, if you have any questions or any discussion you'd like to enter into, Pastor Otero will be conducting that session. And secondly, the one of the subjects that will be covered is about the covering of women's head, as detailed in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5. Also, if you would like a CD or tape of this service, or any service for that matter, you can call the church at area code 408-778-2595. And those are the final notes. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 100, verses 1 through 3. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning. So let us begin our worship with hymn number 93, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Let us continue our worship now with hymn number 97, There's a Song in the Air.
There's a song in the air, there's a song in the sky, there's another song.
Will you please stand now as we sing hymn number 89, Angels We Have Heard on High.
Please remain standing for prayer. Father, you are indeed a God who loves us and brought us into the kingdom by Jesus Christ our Lord. You gave us his perfect faith. You gave us his love. You gave us the knowledge of the kingdom of God and of the word of God when we were yet unbelievers. As I look to the world and as I listen, programs that try to bring Christ, these bring about again that without faith, we cannot please you. Yes, we cannot prove one point or the other scientifically, but we don't need it because faith proves everything. And one day, a lady by the name Mary, which the Bible clearly stated in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, a virgin woman gave birth to Jesus, the God that became man. Thank you, Father. Thank you. And now, Father, we worship him for 2,000 years until he come. And we are thankful of his work at Calvary Cross, where he died for our sins, the payoff of our life. And now, Father, as a church body, we worship him. Not only we sing about him, we read in a few minutes about him in the Gospel of Luke. And then, Father, not only that, we talk about him, because that's what you told us to do. Be ye my witness. Father, we pray for those who are not here because they are sick. And my mind come always, Mrs. Forrest, who is confined to a bed for the rest of her life, but her heart is not confined to a bed. Her heart is always joyful, always testifying about you. Lord, for Mrs. Otero, who is in bed, bad flu, asthma, combinations of things, that we pray for a relief, that soon she be act and moving. But at the same time, I pray that you give her patience. I know when we are sick, we have no patience, and we feel a little better, and we want to move. And the body tells us, this is not the right time. So, Father, with graciousness, touch her heart and her body. Lord, we look in the life of missionaries, and we always remind ourselves of those who are serving on our behalf. Fred, as he is getting a treatment to the recovery in Oregon. Carol and Ruth Knott, who are in Seville, Spain. Eusebio and Marisa Perez in Malaga, Spain, David and Denise Rode in Papua, in New Guinea, and Giovanni and Barbara Avendano in Guatemala. And Father, what a terrible disaster in Guatemala. He tells us in his letter that there are people without food, without home, and he tried to help them. And speak to us, Lord, that we may be able to raise an offering to help those in need in Guatemala so that our missionary can do the work. And for Martha Foretti in Buenos Aires, as she visited the rehabilitation center, there was one man in this graduation that knew you as Savior, and now he's on the street, all alone. The family don't want him, but you want him. And sure, how precious it is that he worshiped in Martha's church. Salt Valley Pregnancy Care Center, a light in the middle of a turbulent life in Gilroy. The Christian Athletic Association getting focus on young people, getting their energy focused, not only in their sport ability, but also in Christ Jesus. And Daniel and Miriam Lacey, Lord, they are traveling tomorrow a long road to Argentina. Miriam is going to visit the country she was born, and she came here when she was 2 years old. Visited again at 6, and visited again at 10, and she said, I have little memories of my country. But Father, I pray for Jacqueline, Emma, and Daniel, that they may get a lesson in how people live in other countries and be appreciated of how we live in America. That they may see their cousins and all the people who are so happy and have nothing, so that they can turn around and have the satisfaction to say, Lord, thank you. They will live in this prosperous country. Let not this prosperity be the goal of our life, but the Jesus of our life. Lord, thank you for your provision and your care. Thank you for those who are listening over the internet, those who are listening over KKMC, and those who call our office and request of tapes and counsel and so on. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the people that come here and support the ministry, and they are one heart with us. And so, Father, we pray that you outpour your blessings in this coming season. And 2 Sundays, we will have the blessing of worshiping on your day right here in church. How precious it is. And, Father, we look forward for the coming Sunday when in the evening our choir will dedicate themselves to praise your name. And Pastor Thompson will bring the attention on the gift of salvation to us. Thank you, Father, for a full month of enjoying Jesus, our Lord. Thank you that we have enough money to live and to give an offering to keep the ministry going. Thank you for this faithful congregation. Bless the offering and bless the giver in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the Gospel according to Luke. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 598. We will be reading Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Blessed is the word of God. Amen. Let us pray together. Our Father and our God, we thank you that we are unworthy recipients of your grace and that you have called a people to yourself, and we are counted in that number when we first believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your written word and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and the faithful teachers you have raised up. We thank you for having revealed to us the King of Glory, that we might know him as our Savior and Lord. We come before you in his name. We pray now for your servant, our teacher and pastor, as he comes to explain the eternal truths of your word. Bless him and guide him as he teaches and brings the gospel of peace with you, and bless us with understanding. We pray for all those listening here and through the radio and internet and tape and CD, and we pray especially for those who remain in unbelief, that they may believe the gospel and know the joy of your salvation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother. And going again into the presentation of the birth of our Lord Jesus, I just want to inform you that we Christians believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God, and that we need no other extra document to certify to our hearts and mind that this is true. But just in case of, if you turn your Bible to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 1, I think at this verse 1 is written for our scientific world and our keen mind and trying to match things together. And I love to see programs where they're trying to reason these from a standpoint of what is it that took place. In verse 1, the physician Luke, the MD Luke, said, For as much as many had taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, who from the beginning were eyewitness and ministers of the word. So when Dr. Luke write in this gospel, not only he is inspired by God, but he has the certainty of eyewitness to verify what he says. So there was a real city of Nazareth. And if you go into the books of history, there was a real census taking place by Augustus. And so whatever Dr. Luke said in the scripture, even though it's inspired and divine by God, as we believers believe, is also can be verified in the secular world. No number in the scripture, no date in the scripture, no failure in anything the scripture said. When the scripture mentions a city, it is a real city. When the scripture mentions a date, it is a real date. When the scripture mentions an event, that really happened. Now, we don't analyze the Bible by a scientific approach. We just believe it. Because without faith, you cannot please God, said the scripture. Having said that, as the background of our teaching, I want you to have in mind this equation. December equal Christmas, and then the counter equation, Christmas equal Christ. Christmas doesn't equal holiday. All right? Like the governor of Alaska openly said yesterday over the television, in my governorship, he said, no one will call that Christmas tree a holiday tree, even if I go to jail. And he fired the attorney general of his state for calling the tree a holiday tree. And that's been common sense, all right? December equal Christmas, Christmas equal Christ. Last Sunday we talked about, in the scriptures, about the incarnation of Jesus, how God in heaven became a man. So on the cross of Calvary was not a ghost that died for us, but a man, so that you as a man can be justified before God. Today I take you to the passage our brother read, and I would like to see these set of the scriptures in the Gospel of Luke chapter 1 and verse 26 to 38. There you have the announcement of the birth of the Lord Jesus. And this, again, the announcement has been done by an angel, a messenger from God, and only we believers believe that. The unbelievers, I suppose you cannot believe that, and I do understand it. Now, here is what the scripture really said. We find in these verses the entire gospel, what we call the gospel, the good news of God, in a nutshell. The rest of the New Testament for me is a development of what the angel said to Mary on this fortunate occasion. There are three essential declarations in the annunciation of Jesus' birth. Our brother read it for us. There is the message of Christmas. Then there is the miracle of Christmas. And by the way, notes from the sermon are found in the insert of the church bulletin, so you can have your Bible and look to me with your Bible, and later on you can look on there. And then there is the ministry of Christmas. So three things in that little passage comes up. First, the message of Christmas. Then the miracle of Christmas. And then the ministry of Christmas. Let's look to each one and praise the Lord for the information he gave us. In verse 28, in Luke chapter 1 and in verse 28, you have the message of Christmas, which is simply this, the grace of God. I read the verse for you. And the angel came in unto her, means he appeared unto Mary, and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. Now, remarkable. The people call Mary a peasant woman. And she maybe was a peasant woman from the area. But right here changed the entire life. The angel came to her and said, highly favored. Those who study Greek know that there is a word in the Greek language that describes what we call grace. And that's the word, charistos. You not only have grace, you have highly grace. I mean, I come to you with a grace that you ever in your life imagined. Highly great. This stressful lady, Mary, this holy woman of God, Mary, who she finds herself in trouble, pregnant without having a relationship with a man. She doesn't know. Can you imagine, ladies, you find yourself pregnant and you consciously know that you never touch a man? Can you imagine what's going on in your mind? You say, the doctors may be wrong. I take another test to see if it's okay. And comes negative again. And so the angel, you need the heavens coming to speak to you. I do understand it. And the heavens came down. The heavens came down for one lady, this holy, marvelous lady called Mary. And said to her, for what are the words of heaven? Mary, you have found one thing. Grace. That's the message of Christmas. If you turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6, the Bible translates the word charistos in different way. But I think in Ephesians 1, 6, the author of the book of Ephesians, Paul, trying to explain what grace really is so that you get a more layman, a more common idea, and a down-to-earth idea. Ephesians 1, 6 said this, to the praise of the glory of his grace, through which he had made us, look at the word, accepted in the beloved. You see that word accepted? Amazing of is the word charistos. That means is the word grace. And so grace really means, when you come into the Bible, being accepted of the beloved. You heard about people saying, you have to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. May I tell you this? You have to be accepted of God. That's the message of the gospel. You need to be accepted of God. In order for you to become part of the kingdom of God, is not that God depends on your intelligence. God doesn't depend on your skills of studies. God depends on only one tool, God accepting you as you are. And if you want to know that this is always the same, I want to show you one verse at the very beginning of the Bible. In Genesis chapter 6, God created this earth so perfect. God created this earth with all the balance and all the chemicals and all the physics and all the things so perfectly. And man soon after Genesis 3 make a mess of it. I mean, a real mess. Such a mess that God said, there is no one human being deserve to live. I'm going to destroy this earth. But how in the world we are alive still? Look at verse 8. But Noah found, Genesis 6, verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found charistos. Noah was accepted of the beloved. Now look how God looked to Noah now in verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in all his generations. You see what the grace of God does? God changed the opinion about you. Yes, science and people of historian background and scholars said Mary was a peasant. Yes, she was. Mary was young. Yes, she was. But Mary found the grace of God. And now she's accepted of God. I hear a commentator saying many women wish they have been in the place of Mary. I agree. They all were dreaming when the Messiah will come. They all were waiting for that Messiah. They don't know how the Messiah will come. But for you to be a child of God, you need to be accepted of God. I want to show it to you. Go now from Genesis all the way again to the book of Ephesians. In a passage you know, some of the Christians know this passage very well. Chapter 2 in Ephesians. And describe Ephesians 2, you and me. In Ephesians 2, 1, the Bible says, and you had he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. You and I, in a natural state like Mary, she was dead spiritually in trespasses and sin. And look at what how the Bible describes our life before we were accepted of God. In which in time past, verse 2, ye walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience. That's talking about Satan. Among whom also we all have our manner of life. I like that. There is no exception for the Americans or for the Jewish people per se. We all have. You got that one? We all have that manner of life, said the scripture. In time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. I mean, God do not like us. Period. People say, but God loved all of us. God loved those who he accepted. Look at verse 4. But God, who is rich in what? In mercy. For his great love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead in our sins, the Bible says it again, hath made us alive together with Christ. And look at the parentheses in your Bible. By grace, by charistos, by being accepted of God, we are saved. See, it's not a matter of joining a particular church or denomination that makes you saved. It's not a matter of being, I heard from the report and the television that there are 2 billion Christians. And out of 2 billions, I don't know how many, maybe a billion or something, they are Roman Catholics and the other are Protestants and so on. It's not by being one or the other. Is by being accepted of God in the beloved. So Christianity without Christ doesn't exist. The message of Christmas. The message of Christmas is we can be accepted of God. We can be accepted of God. Christ has come so the man Jesus died on Calvary cross. And when we see that in our heart because God deal with us, he accepted us. He accepted us not because who we are, because of what Christ is. Accepted in the beloved. In verse 30, we're going back to Luke chapter 1, in verse 30, the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found what? Again, Christos. Fear not, Mary, for that thou hast found favor with God. Mary, you have found favor with God. You have found grace. See, be not afraid is the opposite of having peace. And so there is the peace of God, the absence of fear, that comes into our heart. Now, look with me in John Gospel chapter 14 and in verse 27. In John Gospel, chapter 14, and verse 27, the Bible talks about that peace. Gospel of John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you, said Jesus. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. Neither let it be afraid. See, when you have the peace of God, the God has accepted you just as you are. Know that you are performing and doing something to be accepted. God accepted you in your sins and in your dead soul. God accepted you. When you have that peace, then you have the peace of God with you. And you don't have to be afraid. Go with me to the right again to Romans in chapter 5 and in verse 1. You see, the announcement of the angels was loaded of theology. Romans chapter 5. In verse 1, look what the apostle says. Therefore, being justified by faith, being accepted of God, and we have believed it, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is why we Christians cannot say it's a holiday season, it's a holiday tree. We Christians said it is the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we say it because we have been accepted of God, and now we know it. And we feel compassion for those who do not do so. And we feel sad for those who do not see it. And we know that all depends on God and not on us. And so I challenge you to be kind and gentle, just smiling and saying, perhaps one day God will grant to you the peace to know that Jesus came to save your heart from hell. That will be the position of a Christian. The message of Christmas, the grace of God has appeared, is the Lord Jesus. And when we become believers in Christ, then we are accepted of God in the Beloved. Now that changed the whole routine of the Jewish people. They were accepted of God because they were the children of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. You read the Old Testament and over in the book of Ezekiel and in the book of Isaiah said, our fathers, and said, Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. We no longer depend on our fathers. We depend on the Savior, the Lord Jesus. We are accepted in the Beloved. That's the message of Christmas. Now, let me talk to you about the miracle of Christmas. Look at the announcements of the birth. Verse 31 to 35. And Luke chapter 1, verse 31 to 35, you have the announcement of his birth. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus of Joshua. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know no man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now, do you notice what the Bible says? The Bible says, Mary, you are being selected. You are the one that God said God is going to zero in. And Mary has all the right to ask, like you ladies will say, wait a minute. I don't know, man. How am I going to have a baby without the relationship with a man? How this is going to happen? And God said, God acts always in this way. The Holy Spirit is going to come. Has a tremendous spiritual lesson. Tremendous spiritual lesson. You said, Pastor, I'm a medical doctor. Pastor, I'm an engineer. Pastor, I'm a professional. Pastor, I'm a man of science. And you said that God is going to make me a believer. How this could happen? How can God reach me, who I'm so intelligent, and I know the facts that God is wrong? How can God reach me? That's what Calvin said, a genius of the 1600. How can God reach a lawyer who knows everything? I'll tell you how. How did God reach Mary? The Holy Spirit came in. So the same thing. Go with me, put one hand in and look, and go with me to the Gospel of John. Now, I want you to know chapter 15, verse 26, just for one clarification, one Greek word I want you to know. John Gospel, chapter 15, verse 26. Look how the Bible called the Holy Spirit. Verse 26, please, in John Gospel 15. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. Now go back a little bit to John 14, 26, and the Bible explained it. But the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit. So when the Bible used the word Comforter, is the Hebrew and the Greek word parakleto, which means equal to the Holy Spirit. Now, let's go to John 16, please, and see how the Holy Spirit makes you a believer. Look at what the Bible says. Jesus is talking to the disciples. He's trying to prepare them that he's going to go to heaven. Nobody understands what he's talking about. And so everybody is trembling. Now that we have the leader, is he going to depart? And who's going to help us? Now, that's a fair question. You are a fisherman, and now you got a leader, and you follow that leader, then you really are attached to him. Now, so Jesus explained, verse 7, John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, Jesus, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. It's good for you that I go away. For if I go not go away, the Comforter. Now, remember what we read in John 14, 26? The Comforter is the Holy Spirit. So you can replace that word Comforter for Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. You do not call the Holy Spirit. Jesus called the Holy Spirit. Some people say, I call the Holy Spirit to come down. Who are you, Jesus? Look at verse 8. And when he is come, he will reprove. When he is come, he will convict, reprove the world of what? Of sin and righteousness and judgment. Of sin of what? Of sin because they believe not in me. So you don't have to worry about how you're going to believe. The only thing you have to do is read this scripture that you do not believe. Read it. And the Holy Spirit will convict you of sin. That's been accepted. That's the way that God's work. God doesn't work out of a book of science. God works out of his book. So the miracle of Christmas, the announcement of his birth, the Holy Spirit is going to come and is going to do it. Now look at the fulfillment. Let's go back to the Gospel of Luke chapter 1, verse 37 and 38. You find the fulfillment. For with God, nothing is impossible. I don't know if between verse 36 and 37, Mary may say, what are you talking about? I don't know. But you ladies, or maybe Mary was silent. And when the angel said, the Holy Spirit was going to come and touch you. And she smiled and she looked on it. Really? So God has to clarify, verse 37. He said, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Do you remember another lady who laughed when she was 90 and the angel said, you will have a baby. She said, are you sure? He said, my husband is 100 and I'm 90 and those times are gone. And what the Bible said in Genesis 18, 14, the Bible says, nothing is impossible for God. The fulfillment of his prophecy, nothing is impossible for God. So, what I recommend you to do is here in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, and you know it by heart, but I read it for you because sometimes I misspell or misplace some words. Romans 10, 17 says, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you want to become a Christian, there is no other formula for you. There is not a step one, step two, step three, raise your hand and believe. No! There is no such an animal. No. If you want to become a Christian, you don't go to seminary. If you want to become a Christian, you don't enroll in a school of religious studies. No. I'm really curious when a secular man with degrees from religious study is going to speak about Christianity, because he doesn't know really Christianity, but it's fun to hear it. The Bible says if the Holy Spirit is going to work in you, you have to read the scripture. Say, but I don't believe it. I agree with you. I read it when I don't believe it. I read Romans when I was young, at 13, to study logic and mathematics. Because I don't believe what Paul said about this and the other, but I believe what he reasoned in logic. And so I did equations with the word in logic at 13, because I love mathematics. The fulfillment of his birth is there. And you may say to me, Pastor, I'm a Jew. Pastor, I'm a Chinese. Pastor, I'm an Argentinian. Pastor, I don't care who you are, but you read the scripture and the Holy Spirit will work. And what the Holy Spirit will do is, if it's in God's mind, you will be accepted of the beloved. You don't have to accept anybody. You don't have to do anything. God accepts you. And you suddenly said, wow, that's true. That's true. The miracle of Christmas. You know, if you are saved, call yourself a miracle. Call yourself a miracle. If you think that what happened to Mary is impossible, then what happened to you is also impossible. Somebody told me, he said, do you believe what happened to Mary? I believe because it happened to me. So you have a baby? No, I became a baby of God. Now, what do we do with this? The ministry of Christmas. You know, the Apostle Paul will teach you great theology, and immediately he will teach you how to apply it, because theology with application is not good. Without application is not good. And so the Lord is going to teach us the ministry of Christmas. Verse 30 in Luke chapter 1, verse 30 and 32. Look at what it is. 30 to 32, Luke 1. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Joshua, or Jesus, Savior. And look at what verse 32 said. And you, Mary, shall be great. Is that what the scripture said? Some people mistaken that. Now, Mary was great. I take my hat of Mary. But look at what the scripture said. He, Jesus, shall be great and shall be called the Son of God of the highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. What is Christmas? Christmas is exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus, not about Mary. That's what it is. With all respect to all religion, the issue of Christmas is all about Jesus. That's what the angel said. The ministry of Christmas is that we emphasize Jesus. That's why I dedicated this month 4 sermons on Jesus, because it's all about Jesus. God used people. God used Mary in a holy, magnificent way, more than what you and I can imagine. But Christmas is not about exalting Mary. Christmas is about exalting Jesus. That's what they said. All right. Well, let's go to Philippians 1. You are there. You can move your Bible to Philippians, just after Ephesians. Philippians chapter 1. Look at what Paul says in his ministry about himself. Philippians 1, verse 20 and 21. Look what Paul says. Philippians 1:20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul was raised in Acts in a very hostile political empire. Augustus Caesar. But Paul said Augustus means in place of God. And so imagine the emperor of Rome who was in place of God. And Paul is saying in place of God is Jesus. And that's what he says. I don't mind if I die or I live as long as Christ is magnified. You see what I'm talking about? The message of Christmas doesn't end on December 25th. Goes the whole year around. That your life and my life magnify the Lord Jesus. Also, if we go back to Luke and in verse 33, we see the extended ministry of Jesus. The Bible says in Luke 1:33, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob for just 1 year. Forever. See, this is an extended ministry. Forever. Forever. This is a ministry that has gone on forever. One of the questions that the press and the people of science made is, this happened 2,000 years ago. And who knows how Nazareth was 2,000 years ago? Maybe one or two houses? Maybe so. And who knows how the world was there? We have little ideas. Josephus explained very, an unbeliever Jewish historian explained a lot of things at the time of Augustus. Who knows? But I know that on that day, on December 25th or whatever that day exactly was, it started the Lord Jesus and never end. We're still today with Jesus. 2,000 years ago, and until he comes again, we will still with Jesus. See, the ministry of Jesus doesn't end on Christmas Day. Now, I'm very happy for Christmas. Just one boy from the church gave me this chocolate, and my wife will never know. Now I blew it. She's listening, but it's just so good. I think Matthew Noriel gave me this thing, and if you geese want to give me more chocolate without my wife knowing, it's okay. But I tell you, it's not just the giving of that day, it's the giving of ourselves for the entire year to Christ. And then we are gentle, we are kind, we are lovable, we are all the fruits of the Spirit within ourselves. That's what the world needs to see. I love to hear psychologists and people to talk about Christmas because I learn my shortcomings. They have no seeing Christ in me. That's what they're talking in this way. I'm not criticizing them. I could be one of them. Now, surprising me, yesterday when I saw a videotape, the psychologist said, we should never encourage those who believe not to believe. I was shocked. I thought, maybe God is working already. And I was surprised that NBC will broadcast a program like that about Christmas, so serious and so well done. I tell you this, the extended ministry of the Lord Jesus is a ministry that never ends until he comes, until you die. You behave like a wife for Jesus, not until December 25th, a whole year around. You behave like a husband protecting your family and caring for your children all the year around. The Bible says children obey your parents. No, just in Christmas, whole year around, because Jesus is there. His ministry is forever and ever until we get into the presence of the living God. Our responsibility is not only to celebrate Christmas, but also to communicate Christmas with our life. How are we going to do that? Turn your Bible as a conclusion to Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. Here is my conclusion. This is the way we're going to do it. This is the way. The Bible says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined or predetermined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Here's what the Bible is saying. When you were accepted of the Beloved, now you have no choice. Your life has been predetermined to be the image of Christ. I wrote in my notes, Gabriel, are you the image of Jesus. That scare you. I hope you're scared. Write down that note. Are you the image of Jesus? And I said, Pastor Moore, are you the image of Jesus? Can people see the kindness and gentleness of Jesus? Can people see the love of Jesus in your life? Can Jesus see the integrity of Jesus in your walk? I wrote all of these things because that's necessary. And when you do it, you don't have to explain Christmas to people. They will see Christmas in you. Thank you, Father, for this marvelous and remarkable announcement of the angels. How the angels came, when they came, what form they have, I don't know. But I know one time in my life, when I read the scripture, that I found myself a sinner. And at the same time, I found myself in the hands of Jesus. Lord, I thank you with all my life because you choose the best woman ever existed, Mary. And I thank you, Lord, that from Mary came the man Jesus. He took my place in Calvary's cross. Not just to make me different than other races, but to make me different in the way of being part of his life. Or help all of us to show in the walk of life the image of Christ, the one who is King forever and ever. In his name we pray. Amen.
Oh, you stand, please, for the benediction. And for those who are still on the air, you have heard from the cathedral today their voice. Father, we are your children. We humble before you like Mary did, and as she puzzled in her life, we puzzle too sometimes for the events that happen in our life. But we know that we have been accepted of the Beloved. And because we have been accepted, we are in the care of the Beloved. Put your hand of mercy on those who are sick, and those who have turbulent times in their spiritual or psychological part of their life, knowing that our Savior specializes in getting a life in peace. And if someone doesn't believe, oh, Father, I beg you, cause that person to read your scripture, and the rest will be history. Thank you for being such a patient God, such a loving God, such eternal God. In Jesus we thank you. Amen.